Hello, this is Carlos Art Navarez, consultant. We have a short hour to cover incredibly involved topics, so the best I will be able to do is give you a hint as to what needs to be done to build a successful website, with a few examples and a few stories from my own practice. Every topic could easily be a full semester's worth of instruction at a university, so basically, I'm condensing 10 semesters into a one-hour presentation. Talk about getting a drink of water from a fire hydrant. So strap on, hold on tight, pay close attention, and have lots of fun. I will be brief with my credentials. I have a computer science degree from Brigham Young University. I have had over the years many jobs, but I'm pleased at having had the opportunity to spend 14 years at Novell building the technologies that people have come to rely upon for their everyday internet lives today. In 2002, I left Novell to start the Wild Horse Performance Companies. I started with a technical consulting focus, but immediately took a position running international IT for Nature Sunshine. Over the years, I have been honored to work with many luminaries in and out of the technical world, and for large and small companies alike. I love the relationships that can quickly be built with smaller clients, but there's something to be said for the muscle that a big corporation brings to the table. My philosophy is very simple. As companies and individuals, we have to push our boundaries to grow. And performance is such an indicator, a result of how much we grow. In other words, we're either growing or we're stagnant. My approach to life and business is also simple. Re-examine, redefine, reinvent, and repeat. I use the prefix RE because I'm a firm believer in leveraging existing investments. Not necessarily because you do something over and over. Also, to underscore the cyclical nature of the process. By constantly examining, defining, and inventing, we avoid stagnation. Now to the meat. In this presentation, we're going to cover the elements I believe are crucial to building a great, engaging, persuasive website. On the web, because you don't get to interact face to face with someone, image is everything. In this presentation, we'll discuss the graphical elements of success and persuasion. Your site must also be memorable. Make sure people remember your site, your product, your brand when they leave. Validation. The content on your website must help you establish a good relationship with your site visitors by letting them know what others think of you and your past work and experience. People like to do business with service-oriented organizations. Ensure that when people visit your site, they feel like they're being treated and served well. The web teams with similar sites and offerings. In order to make your site identifiable, once someone is on your site, they have to be unique to you. Regardless of how many others offer the same services that you do, your visitor is yours. Make sure you can identify with him or her and that your visitor can identify with you. Communicate. Make sure your visitors can reach you, communicate with you through as many channels as possible. Dynamic sites get repeat visits. Ensure that your visitors will come back by making your site a living, dynamic site, not a dead, static one. If your visitor feels they already know what's on your site, they won't be coming back. Be engaging. Tell your visitors what you want them to do. If you're clear with your message, they will do it. Have the mentality that everyone matters. Focus on those that give you immediate attention, but once someone lands on your site, make sure they give you a way to give them more. Get it from them. Human beings are social by nature. Be social with your internet presence, not just your social media, but be engaged, participate, build a sense of community with your visitors. Choose your words carefully. Verbal packaging is a big term for a simple process, but do research, think, and test before you publish. A picture is worth a thousand words. We've heard that phrase often enough, but a few of us put its imperative into action. What a powerful tool. It is very important to profit from the use of images. Those thousand words can just as easily boost as they can destroy your message. It is critical that when you're choosing a logo, the one element of your brand that will unify your efforts, that you choose something that conveys the message you want to convey precisely. If you're going to spend money on something, spend money on developing a great logo. After that, your choice of color, graphics, and layout for your website will speak volumes beyond the content. Simplicity seems to win the battle in these elements of design. Realize that beyond pictures, we live in a world and society that is multimedia oriented. As appropriate, it is essential to mix the use of photography, video, and audio to help your website deliver the most impact possible. When I designed the logo for Wild Horse Performance, I wanted something that could be useful across the companies and media. After all, I wanted to do consulting, technical, but I also had a passion for muscle cars and muscle bikes. So I knew that in the near future, I might need something to apply to those businesses as well. I started with my own cultural background and found an accomplished artist that listened to what I wanted to do and quickly sent me some sketches. I wanted to have something that could be used on the web or even on a car, so I picked simple color schemes that could be used as emblems or vinyl cutouts. Once I was done with the artwork, we found web artists to take the concept to the web. Now our task, and your task, is to make sure that you can incorporate the identity into everything that you do and you publish. As in life, it's important for you to determine what you want to get out of your site or your logo. If you're designing something that will endure, you will probably have to go through the process a few iterations before you get it right. Be patient. Don't force it. Here's a tip. Don't go to the geeks till you have a good idea of what you want. Us technical guys, we're problem solvers by nature, and we can be expedient and efficient, but not likely to care about your image as much as you care about it. So it's important that you understand your goals before you hand the task to the technical team. As I mentioned in my own efforts, I used a childhood experience to guide my choice of logo. So I found an artist who does amazing oils and drawings and told her what I was looking for. She quickly worked out some of my designs. When she was done with the original sketches, I took her work and found a web graphic artist that translated her work of art into something that looked great for publishing on the internet. Tip number two, there is a world of difference between what may look good on print versus what will look good on a web page. Something that helps me a lot is to find popular sites and determine what it is that makes them sticky. By sticky, I mean that people seem to be coming back to them. One could spend years analyzing why Facebook surpassed MySpace in popularity. Was it design? Was it functionality? Was it both? The why is not as important as analyzing the elements of design used by both sites in this case and applying those to our own design. One particular strategy I use when I'm working on designs is running ads on scriptlens.com or on other sites. Perhaps running contests on marketing forums to see who will come up with the coolest logo for me, the coolest layout or design. Whatever I have spent in these efforts so far has well paid for itself time and time again. One important guiding principle in my efforts is that I try to keep things simple, clear, and focused by having a clear purpose for my design. This requires that I identify my audience and segment it into groups, and that I can identify my primary target groups for my marketing. Market segmentation is what we call this, and this is several semesters worth of training, so I'm only mentioning very, very high level basics here. The bottom line is 1, have a purpose, 2, keep things simple by focusing on that purpose, and 3, drive results. What do you want your visitor to accomplish? What do you want him to do? A common failure when I work with clients is to agree on the purpose for a particular website. They don't want to do it. A site is a tool like a hammer or a saw, and like a hammer or a saw, there's a specific set of tasks that can be accomplished well by your tool. If you try to use the hammer to cut wood, you're going to get really rough cuts, if any. I find that many businesses start a website simply because they feel everyone is doing it and they need to do it as well. A website is simply an element of the overall image you're trying to project. What do you want your visitor to remember? Your logo, your product, your personality, even your website? There is no clear guideline here. Sometimes you want to reinforce your brand or your image. Other times you may be selling products or services, or perhaps you're trying to acquire leads for marketing purposes. The key remains, the most important guiding ingredient to your website soup is understanding its purpose. Building buzz or using other people's buzz to keep your site freshly relevant is a great tactic to make your site memorable, and yet you have to be careful that you don't get lost in the noise of the buzz itself. When Hurricane Katrina hit the east coast of the US, you couldn't visit a site without reading something about it. All the marketing machines created Katrina relief efforts and capitalized on the event. At the end of the day, unless you're able to generate buzz yourself, which is hard for us non-stars and small businesses to do, you have to borrow from buzz that's going on around you. Don't underestimate the power of building on what is going on around you locally or regionally. I think sometimes as marketers, we go for the big stories and the big events, but often get lost in so much noise. Important, relevant buzz is always happening near us, near you. Use it. Key to any marketing effort is the short pitch, often called the tagline or the elevator pitch. Just do it, Nike. It's a real thing, Coke. Don't squeeze the Charmin. I don't remember that one. I think it was Procter & Gamble. But we do remember memorable lines. Life is like a box of chocolates. We remember those catchy phrases. Make some time to find yours. But do find it. Look for it. And when you do, incorporate your tagline, your short pitch, into your brand and your messaging to keep it clear, concise, and consistent. Consistent. The three C's of marketing. One big factor in influencing people's memories is to establish your credentials. Provide plenty of past projects that show your work and your success. I find that in my own practice, I can even provide failures to show things that haven't worked in the past. Personally, I find perfection hard to believe in anything. Eventually, everyone runs into a snag. It's how you deal with those snags that divides the good from the bad. Is your customer satisfied with how you deal with their problems? Get those testimonials and those endorsements where appropriate. Now, I have to warn you here. The FTC has recently released guidelines that regulate the use of testimonials and endorsements. So before you rush to fill your site with miracle claims, make sure you have a good lawyer reviewing your content. All of this speaks to your business philosophy and values. What may be a great area for someone, it's a black and white issue for some other person, which is why the internet is such a beautiful medium for expression. We'll get the same shot regardless of our size. This equality, however, is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's easy for you and I to enter into the competition, but like in a big marathon, there's only a few memorable runners. As in a marathon, get in the race. Choose your pace, run your own race with your own image and your own style, and the rest is execution. My grandfather used to tell me that the fun in the race was not in the outcome. And as I get older, I realize that he made a lot of sense. What makes life memorable for me is the enjoyment of the race itself. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, change it. It's not worth it. Your passion for what you do will greatly influence what you publish and what your customers see in your site. People go to forums, chat rooms, and social sites to get the lowdown. So leverage that knowledge to make your site memorable and influential. We discussed past work and testimonials as a tool to make your site more memorable. Certainly pick the ones that matter. My mom's endorsement is probably a bit too biased for a stranger. But in terms of validation, what other people are saying about you and about me matters to our visitors. How it's said is also important. In choosing which endorsements to use, besides FTC constraints and other legal matters, consider what is within the taste of your anticipated audience. I personally can't stand to watch 5 minutes of those TV infomercials that pay a lot of my consulting fees, but nobody can argue with their effectiveness. What this means is that I can't build a site to my taste unless I expect everyone in my audience to agree with me, which is impossible. So I need to find out what my audience wants. Like every other method, building a website is more about testing and more testing than it is about nailing it on the first try. Use authority sites for your industry and for the internet to validate your content. For example, as you're using terms on your content, link it back to Wikipedia.com. This has several good effects. For one, it shows that you care enough to link yourself to a credible source. Secondly, it shows that you're telling the truth. After all, you're providing real evidence to back up the words you are using. And thirdly, if you submit terms to Wikipedia linking to your site, you establish a credible technical association with that authority site through the linkage. There are others out there, WebMD, Google, etc. Plenty of authority sites. Some are more tuned to specific industries. The more authority sites you associate with your site, the better your ranking will be, and psychologically, the more validation you will be providing to your customer. Yes, I said the C word, customer. Whether you're selling information, products, services, or just expressing an idea, at the end of the day, people vote with their time. Ultimate validation for you and your visitors is the popularity of whatever it is they're promoting on your site by the amount of purchases or the amount of time it's being spent on it. If you're discussing the effects of global warming, provide a way to donate to global warming causes. If you want to promote weight loss, find a cause that needs your help. If you have a product, then sell your products. The bottom line is that your visitors should be given a chance to vote with their dollars or with their time, even if it's not for you. The more they vote, the more validation you and they get. I think many of us are really afraid to test this, but at the end of the day, we often find ourselves wondering why someone else is making more money with the same idea we had so long ago, while we're still thinking about doing it. Whether your motives are altruistic or not, community involvement is key to validating your personal and your corporate values. If nothing else, it says you have a heart, that you're human, and that you're real. We'll discuss more when we go into social media, but with community, we're not just talking about your physical locality. A community could be your Facebook or your LinkedIn Rolodex, or it could be the people that come to read your blog on weight loss. Causes are a great motivator for people, and if you provide ways to get involved, people will. I know certain marketing campaigns that have gone as far as creating official charitable organizations to complement their marketing efforts. We're not talking about the unethical portrayal of goodness and kindness for the purpose of you extracting money from your community members. We're talking about things that you really care about. And it can be anything. I really love saving vintage cars from demolition in a wrecking yard. What can I say? I have a soft spot in my heart for those old timers. Maybe I see myself getting older than most of those cars, and I hope someone comes to my rescue when I face my wrecking ball. So perhaps a cash for Clunkers Charity could use exposure on some of my sites as a way to link my efforts with a good cause. It matters that your visitor perceives the human values in your content. Use pictures to evoke emotional linking to those things you're promoting. Images make our cause seem more real. There are some abrasive sites that sell. However, my recommendation to you is to stick to the philosophy that honey attracts more flies than vinegar. That is, of course, assuming that you're not trying to sell vinegar itself. Service-oriented sites tend to catch my attention a lot more than self-serving sites, although there are some exceptions that I'll mention in our next slide. Why are people looking for something on the internet? Why do we go browsing around? Well, we're lazy, at least I am. We don't want to get off the couch and go to the store to look for whatever we want. This is generally true in my case, and it's not just laziness. Many times I just don't have the time to run to the store. The internet is convenient, and it's always open. I don't have to wait till 10 a.m. to go to the store. As you offer your products and services, make sure you make the experience convenient. This may mean electronic delivery when possible, and offer rush shipping for the impatient customer. People are frugal. When people get on the web to shop for something, they want it for less than they can find it locally. So when you're pricing your products, make sure that a simple Google search is not going to yield a dozen competitors with a much lower price than yours. That's not to say that you have to give away your products for less than they are worth, but consider creating products that you can afford to sell at a loss. People love free. So offer free products and services. One common strategy I've found with marketing gurus is to offer a free CD or book. As long as the customer pays shipping and handling, you can make some money using this technique, as long as you're reasonable with your shipping and handling fees. Free does sell. And if you're worried about how to fulfill physical product, then deliver downloadable product, electronic. Be careful though. Your free products should be carefully designed to enhance and promote the desire to purchase your valuable products. We call those bumps. Make sure you can bump your customer. Humans have a strange dichotomy. They want free products, but we associate people who give free products with either scams or with worthless products. Be careful to convey the proper value even when you're giving away a free product. It's free, and sometimes free can be expensive for you. So find products that you can afford to take a loss. We call those loss leaders. Retailers use this trick all the time to get you to step into their store because it works. I've had some failed attempts at this with some clients because these clients choose loss leader products that have no worth to anyone but themselves. There has to be real perceived value before someone would show up to your site to get a loss leader product. The $50 50-pack of Coke has perceived value. The $5 or $50 50-pound of Brussels sprouts doesn't quite have the same appeal. So you have to be careful in choosing content that will attract your buyer. Like a grocery store, it's also imperative that when people come to your site to find the loss leader, that they can quickly follow the breadcrumbs there. Otherwise, they will feel cheated. At the same time, you have to make sure that those breadcrumbs lead the buyer right through prominent, attractive, persuasive displays for your products that you want them to purchase. Even if the products are unrelated, sometimes Walmart will put up a whole bunch of toilet paper on the way to that Coke. People love 100% money-back guarantees. This is a great way to make sure your customer feels safe. PayPal and other online transaction processors offer certifications that can be displayed on your site to help ease your customer fears. Let's face it, they're purchasing something they can't physically see or touch. In my own experience with eBay, especially when I've sold large items like Harley motorcycles, I've paid the local dealerships to provide inspection certificates for my buyers. I make sure that my customer loves me so that I don't have to return the money. I've even had cases where a buyer calls me and tells me that they can't come up with the cash. I'll politely ask them to see if they will cover my cost of the auction, which so far everyone has. As long as I get great feedback, I have a testimonial. After all, I really don't gain anything by selling something to someone that can't afford it and will then try to return it. Offer free services. Advice. If you know something, offer it up. Chances are someone hasn't heard what you have to say. Don't be shy. Another great tool is to offer free reports. If nothing else, spend time looking around the web, collecting all that free information that everyone else has gathered up for you, and consolidate it into a valuable report that someone may think beneficial. And lastly, no website should ever be launched without a newsletter to promote it. If you run out of things to say, there are tons of sites out there that will give you ideas as to what people are looking for, and articles. The point is that when people present products offered on your site, they will keep coming back. One of my favorite video blogs is Bob Parsons' video blog. He's the owner of GoDaddy. Now, don't hate me for it. I just happen to think the guy has a great noodle in his head. At the end of the day, for me, it's not the fact that he's using beautiful eyes to his GoDaddy honey. It's the fact that I really like what GoDaddy sells. They're a great domain name service product. And I think that he has a great way of going about promoting something as mundane as domain name services. As human beings, we have some basic buttons that seem to work every time. Look at the average belly size in our bounteous country, and you'll soon find out that food is much more important to us, well beyond nutritional value. We have taken pleasure eating to substitute for all other sins we abstain from. Figure out how to involve pleasure foods in your marketing and you'll get response. Sex does sell. Some people have a more in-your-face approach. Others are more tactful, but ignoring the S word in your marketing is like putting just one bullet in your six shooter. You will be at a disadvantage at the OK Corral. Off my soapbox. It may be that neither gluttony nor sex are things that can be associated with your site or that you want associated with it, but once again, nobody associates sex and domain name services, and yet GoDaddy has made a unique, identifiable mark with their sexy commercials and web campaigns. Whatever type of honey you use to attract your flies, it is critical that this honey be identifiable. For example, if I go to Craigslist, I will find very little identifiable content about that site. So if I'm selling something, I don't want to use Craigslist as a way to establish my identifiable mark. Although I will use Craigslist to promote a page from my main site. A critical element of establishing your brand identity is linked to our first set of principles. You have to understand your target audience. Are they young? Are they old? Are they international? If so, what is appropriate for your audience? In a global economy such as the web, you have to pay extra attention to cultural biases and linguistic issues. In many instances, large corporations have opted to create regional sites rather than attempt to provide a single site that attempts to address a global audience. In choosing your audience, also ask yourself the question, who owns the buying decision and my demographic target? This research is out there. You can find it if you Google enough. eMarketer is a great source of free data for me, but there are many others. In the U.S., a large majority of households, of your household money is spent by females. What age group? Find out and you'll have a good clue as to who should be your target for your next product. Once you know your target, it's important that you identify their likes with your brand. So it's important to understand what your demographic likes and dislikes. We call that their preferences. So you know what to promote and what to avoid. In this regard, your design elements, your logo, graphics, colors, layout, all play together to make your site feel like a place to come and hang out. Or perhaps a boarded up shack that says, stay away. There are those that would recommend using certain colors to evoke certain emotions. I have found that this is not generally true, at least in website building. It's not that the research is invalid, it's that different groups of people react differently to color schemes and design choices. Have you spent any time looking at your 16-year-old favorite hangouts? If I'm targeting younger audiences, I may be looking at the Puppy Games for inspiration. Find the products that are working with your target audience and you will find a way to identify with them, and conversely for them to identify with you. Incorporating this research into your design elements is a crucial element to success. Have you ever seen a website that rises to huge popularity quickly by doing something that seems almost identical to something that was being done by somebody else? It's worth your time to seek out these case studies. They will spell success for your site. Franchise businesses have shown us that it is possible for many people to offer the same services and still attract loyal clientele. So identifiable doesn't necessarily mean unique. It means that when people think of a product or service, they associate it with you and your site specifically. I buy all sorts of technical equipment frequently. There's tons of websites that offer this, but I use Newegg because I consistently get reasonable prices, quick shopping and shipping, and lightning fast refunds and returns with no questions asked. I have found places that can be cheaper, but unless I have to, I stick to this place for those reasons. The more ways you have for your visitors to reach you, the better they will feel about doing business with you. Nothing scares me more about doing business when all I have from someone is just an email address from them. We live in a beautiful age. There are plenty of free or inexpensive technologies that can be used to promote a larger-than-life image for ourselves, our company, and our brand. Here's a few tips. On your contact page, offer local, toll-free, and fax numbers. Google Voice, Skype, eFax, and PBNext are services that you can use to offer these services. And while I'm on this soapbox, let me tell you, if you're a small shop like myself, get a good phone. I can't live without my iPhone. My son, who works for me, likes the Android, and my partner likes the berry flavor. But all of us have the ability to react to customer calls, emails, or faxes anywhere in the world, even without a laptop. This makes the service appear not just abundant, but by offering so many communication choices, it's also fast and responsive. It shows that you care. Now, I don't know about you, but I love my company. I love what I do. I mean, by having efficient access to me and my services. A word about email. While there are plenty of free email services, nothing is trusted as much as your very own email domain. I won't discuss email in much detail because it's a very extensive subject, although it appears simple enough, but there are enough things you can do wrong with your email that can quickly bring your website to its knees. It's not hard to get yourself blacklisted. There are also fiscal considerations, since spam laws carry stiff penalties with them. My advice is to find a trained professional and have them help you with this portion of your setup to avoid those. For instance, that you should have at least two email domains, your corporate domain so you can communicate with your buyers, and a marketing domain for all other purposes. You could also use established services such as Constant Contact. Nowadays, the craze is social media, so every site should have a Twitter and a Facebook Follow Us page prominently displayed, or a badge. This shows you're hip. Seriously though, Twitter and Facebook are such large networks that you simply can't ignore them, and it's so easy to set up a basic presence for yourself that it's crazy not to do it. I like putting up personal pages or company pages for corporate entities. I know that in this age of skyrocketing ID theft, there's a risk in putting yourself out there. But I feel that once you have even a minor presence by having an email address, since most bugs come into a network through an email, you're already exposed to the danger. So the rest is all about risk mitigation and leverage. If you're concerned about this specific issue, stay tuned for my internet security pitch. One little bit of cherry on top is to include Google Maps on your Find Me page. I think it's really cool when I land on a corporate page that lets me send the GPS directions to my iPhone so I can find them. The thing is, it costs nothing and yet provides so much service. In communication, it's the little details like these that matter. My wife constantly reminds me that she appreciates when she gets them, but it seems like the little gestures communicate my feelings for her with more perceived value. In the early days of the internet, web pages were used as replacements for printed brochures, but nowadays that type of static content is simply unacceptable. Sticky sites provide dynamic, up-to-date content that keeps people coming back. Here are some of this stickiness. Make sure you have at least daily posts on your website. Something to consider in this regard is whether your site can be easily edited by non-programmers or whether you need to hire a programmer to edit your posts for you. For this reason, a lot of companies have incorporated blogs into their corporate sites, allowing non-technical staff to easily publish daily content. WordPress seems to have the attention of the marketing heads these days, but Blogger and a few others are available for free as well. One thing I like about WordPress is that you can make your blog look like a regular website without spending a fortune. And you can self-host WordPress as well, which means that you can put it on any server you like, not just the ones hosted by WordPress themselves. It also means that you can start testing your websites on the free version of WordPress. And as the site increases in popularity, you may choose to move it to a hosting service like GoDaddy or 1&1. And for even more control, you can move it to one of your very own servers. We don't have time to discuss the pros and cons of each hosting model, but it's important to realize that you have that flexibility when you choose a platform like WordPress. In connection with blogging is RSS, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. Using RSS, you can take posts from your blog or from other people's blogs and incorporate them into your community site. This can quickly give volume to your site's contents, and plus, with so many bloggers out there, you can turn a static site into a dynamic, thriving community with just a little bit of effort in selecting your RSS feeds. Additionally, the links coming in and out of your site further promotes the rankings in the search engines for your website, so you win by promoting the community. If you do this successfully, you'll find that your colleagues, friends, and/or partners will correspond by promoting your own feeds, further driving the activity on your site. For personal sites, I also recommend using Facebook's or MySpace's friend feeds, which allows you to basically embed your social community or network activity into your very own site. This allows visitors to see what there is going on in your world and in your life, and if they wish, they can go follow you on your own social pages. And same with tweets. It's very easy to incorporate your tweets into your site, providing yourself a way to update content in real time. The main caution I would offer is that you need to use common sense when you use these real-time updates. Don't send a tweet telling people that you just left on vacation for 2 weeks and that you're worried about your house being empty while you're gone. This is simply asking for trouble. And if you're a single girl, don't tell the world that you're home alone, and don't give out your phone number to people you don't know. Use common sense. Given the value of images and video, I love using slideshows and video channels on my marketing sites to give my visitors a good experience. The caution is to keep to your goals, your brand, and your image. I know your cat may be cute and your chihuahua is adorable, but they don't have a place on your front page unless you're running a humane society. You have to be professional and use discretion into what may be personal, private information that would be better shared on a personal page. An engaging site keeps you coming back for more. I go back to Facebook daily, not because it's Facebook, but because my friends are there. In engaging your customers or visitors, the process is simple. First, you have to drive them there. Consider using different media to drive people to your site. Lost leaders are great traffic drivers. There are also affiliate networks and a host of other dynamic methods of getting someone to land on your site, especially if you use relationships such as friends and promote your site. Third-party validation or referrals have a powerful effect on getting people to your page. Businesses spend a lot of time and money trying to figure out the right amount to spend in trying to get a person to a site. I have a friend who hosts a weekly real estate investment club meeting. He has done this for many, many years, and I happened to be at his house recently while he held one of these meetings. Many of the people attending were old-time members, but I saw a few newbies. After they left, I asked my friend why he didn't mention his site to these new people or why he didn't have them sign up for his newsletter. He didn't have an answer. When you drive people to your site, there is an attendant 24/7 who doesn't sleep or rest and who can tell a story why you're not there. It is a fabulous way to tell your story. Once you have someone in front of you on your site, make sure they know that they're welcome and make sure that they know you exist. Customer acquisition is the most expensive part of doing business. You can check the statistics, but it's orders of magnitude cheaper to keep a customer than it is to acquire a new one. I'll repeat that a big factor in engaging your customer is having a clear understanding of your brand and your image. It will be very difficult to portray a consistent image to your customer if you don't have it clear in your own mind. Stay true to your brand and to yourself. When a visitor arrives on your site, make sure that they get what they expect. It's plain and simple. Don't use deceptive tactics to get people to click on a link to get to your site and then expect to keep that customer. Even if the customer derives value from the visit, they will feel cheated and will associate the deception with you and your brand. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen companies use marketing pitches and techniques to get someone to attend an event or to buy a product, believing that once the person is in attendance that they will be so elated with the value that they will forget the deception. It's a slippery slope. It doesn't work, and I don't recommend it for your own practice. If you promise something, deliver it. Integrity should be a word that you know well and that you practice. Give your visitor action items. My most favorite sites are the ones that clearly lead me down the actions that they want me to complete by insinuating my next move, not by shoving it in my face. This can be done by the same. There are many different research articles on the web that will tell you where most visitors are likely to focus on a page. I simply don't like having to hunt for what I want or what I need to do as a website visitor. Even if the content is so massive that you have tons of links, you can still highlight what actions you want your visitor to take. I visit w3schools.com a lot. It's a site to teach you about all sorts of web technologies. When you land on that site, you'll see that there are many, many different things you can do and learn on the site. But smack top and center, you see four action items. They want you to watch tutorials, they want you to try examples, they want you to visit the reference library, and finally, they offer certificates for developers. Guess what? That fourth action item, it's a sale. That badge on my consulting page is yet one more tool I can use to attract customers, so I'm willing to pay that price. Get your customer to take action. Not only do they feel like they've accomplished something, you can use those actions to qualify them, meaning you're learning more about who they are and what they want by the actions they take. If you master nothing else, master this one technique. Keep your customer interested by giving them something to belong to, a community, a club, but better yet, give them a cause. People want to belong. Give them a reason. During a recent trip to Dallas, Texas, I was walking out of Trulux restaurant, and the host said, "Y'all come back soon, you hear?" And it was a very simple gesture. The food was great, the atmosphere awesome, but that little gesture at the end made it memorable for me. So next time I went to Dallas, I stopped by Trulux. The web is harder in that regard, in that you have a hard time providing a personal experience for your visitors, but much as it is possible, this has to be your first target. Give your customer an experience that will keep them coming back for more. It can be an expensive thing. After all, providing personal experience is an individual task. But if you were to understand that every buyer on your website, whether they purchased a $7 product or a $7,000 product, has an average, maybe then would you be willing to spend $200 on keeping the $7 customer engaged? And then maybe perhaps you would be willing to spend $1,000 to get the $7,000 customer to become a $15,000 customer. You have to be smart in your customer acquisition and retention. The most expensive customer you can get is the free customer, because you have to build a relationship from scratch. Engaging your customer is more about understanding yourself, your cost structures, your profit margins, and the overall value of each person that sets eyeballs on your webpage than it is about what you're putting in front of them. As we have already discussed, social networks are critical to your branding. It's easy to get overwhelmed if you don't take a methodical approach to incorporating social networking into your overall internet presence. Social networks can expand your site's footprint immensely simply by giving you additional ways to link content to and from the different networks and from your website, as we've discussed previously. I call this a cascade content architecture. The idea is simple. Pick some sort of blogging platform as your main point of publishing. This is where you will go to create the main posts, allowing you to create rich media content, video, audio, pictures. By setting up RSS feeds and using additional tools, you can take that single post and cascade it through a tiered network of RSS buckets for your feed. You basically pick your tier 1 networks. These tier 1 networks will get immediate publishing from your launch point. The second tier of publishing will take their feed from the first tier networks, and the third one will take it from the second tier. You can build as many tiers as you want to maintain. The pain here is the number of accounts that you will have to create and manage. While it's a great thing from a content perspective, you end up maintaining all these accounts and associations manually. So, start small, start smart. Tools such as TweetDeck allow you to organize multiple Twitter accounts and create an organization around otherwise disorganized status feeds. One useful feature of TweetDeck is that it helps you keep track of discussions where you are being mentioned. This is part of a much larger discussion called reputation management, which deals with monitoring your brand to see what people are saying about it across different networks. But our time is quickly coming to an end, so we'll save that discussion for later. I love ping.fm. Ping.fm. You can quickly post microblog status and blog updates to a large number of participating networks, giving you the ability to cover a lot of ground with one single post. One drawback to using Ping is that unless you anchor a post back to your website through links, the reference can quickly get lost. But in terms of providing you a quick way to update 10, 20, or 30 networks with one single post, Ping rules. I also like using bit.ly, Bitly, when I'm posting references to other websites, because it allows me to monitor traffic on that link. With Bitly, you can take these long, complicated website links and convert them to a short, easy-to-remember link. You click on those links. The bottom line is that there are plenty of tools like Bitly, there's others out there that allow you to enlarge your footprint quickly and efficiently if you take time to design the flow of information. One question I often get is this: if I had to choose, which network would I use? The answer is, it changes over time. But for the most part, today, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and PhotoBucket seem to be the most productive sites for me. There are others, of course, but there's no science to picking these networks. It's really a matter of taste and preference. The networks I've chosen as primary networks happen to rule as far as size is concerned, but there seems to be a new one popping up each day promising to be the next best thing. It's key to pick networks that you can have fun and that can be relevant to your objectives. Keep in mind that many times when these, so keep your content safe by saving local copies of your content, just in case someone decides to pull the plug on you. Another question that I get often is, should I use social networks as my only presence? I don't believe in this model. Philosophically, I think that these networks, because they are free, they are also very sensitive to highly volatile public emotion. And because you don't own the site owner can quickly vaporize your presence if they choose to shut down your account for no reason other than somebody reported you. But this is also a lengthier discussion. We have time, so the idea is to mitigate your risk by using multiple networks. It diminishes your reliance on a single provider and expands your exposure. At the very least, you should always own your own domain, and when possible, you should have ownership of your website and the code that runs it. Focusing on local and regional exposures through the networks seems counterintuitive when you're thinking of global exposure. After all, you want all those billions of eyeballs focusing on you. However, unless you have an initial global presence already, stick with what you know. You can be certain that every other person is going to be going for the big ball. They're going for global positioning. You can take your time, be patient, and be consistent. Build relationships. Use the people that you know. Establish credibility with others, and slowly expand your reach. I call this grooming. Groom your network. Become known as the expert that you are in the particular field that you are an expert in. It's okay if there are others. Build communities of experts then, and become a facilitator, an aggregator. Initiate discussions around areas of interest. We finish pretty much where we started, in that we need to choose our image, in this case, our words, carefully through verbal packaging. Of course, when it comes to pictures and graphics, it's even more critical since they convey so much meaning. But it's no less critical to use language appropriate to your target audience and your website's goal. The more homework you do, the better off you will be. When you're posting articles and even your own thoughts and writings, take a little time to research possible counterpoints and validating resources. You can shatter your credibility quickly by posting something that is quickly disproven or questioned by your network or your customers. Research before you type. I use Wikipedia to quickly look at what people are submitting and saying about any specific topic. The idea is to establish what you mean by what you're saying, and then by consistently using the terms you've defined. By creating your image, in a sense, you define the rules of engagement with your audience. A caution, though, don't reinvent the wheel. Leverage well-understood semantics, meanings. If you take language out of context, you then have to re-educate your audience, and that's an unproductive and a costly effort, and it's unnecessary. The key is simplicity and integrity. It will be hard for you to maintain credibility if you are not, say, you have 7 habits of highly successful people. I've been a fan of these 7 basic practices. Verbal packaging is one of these techniques that he describes in becoming an effective communicator. Use authority sites like Wikipedia to minimize the amount of backlash you will get when you post content. I've often been surprised at what catches the attention of those people reading my posts. Sometimes I think I have the most amazing thing to share and get absolutely no response. And at other times I will post something completely inconsequential from my point of view and get massive reactions. The thing about it is that by using authority sites, expert blogs, and websites to feed onto your own, is that people will then make an association, a psychological association, a link between you and those resources. So pick them carefully. You don't want to associate with the wrong crowd. It's also not a good idea to engage in verbal brawls that can happen occasionally on these networks. Someone says something completely innocent from their point of view, and someone else takes it the wrong way. I see it all the time. Soon the mud is slinging and flinging, and those that might have enjoyed a great reputation can quickly become discredited because of their reaction. I have infrequently come across these individuals who seem so intent on picking a fight. But they will happen. You will meet these people, no matter what. So I think contributing to a larger goal. And as long as you understand yourself in the direction that you're going, these little things won't matter. When it comes to language and relationships, I always enjoyed the 7 habits of highly successful people. On the internet, I think those concepts are even more important. You are dealing with people who can easily hide behind virtual anonymity while you're trying to put forth a strong physical brand with values and integrity. There are many who simply like to use the internet as their virtual scratching post. To summarize, we have gone through the different elements of building a persuasive, successful website. All these elements combine borrow marketing techniques employed by professionals to build today's high-powered sites. No element stands on its own, but if you remember nothing else, you need to remember that nothing works if you don't establish your objectives up front. Begin with the end in mind. I have witnessed grotesquely expensive flops by very smart individuals as they try to break this secret code to success. One common mistake I witness is for an executive to get an amazing idea about some product or process, and they immediately start trying to figure out the technology behind it. I quickly see them go through unproductive design iterations with frustrated technical advisors who keep delivering what was asked of them, and yet the work keeps getting rejected because the customer does not have a clear understanding of the elements I've mentioned in this presentation. Often I'll have a non-technical customer say something like, "I can't describe what I want, but I'll know it when I see it." I've come to recognize that this is mostly laziness on their part. They don't want to have to go through the hard work of figuring out key non-technical elements of what will make a website or a presence successful. I have personally made the mistake of taking on jobs where these customers will refuse to sit down with me and go through the necessary analysis and design because they feel that they know what they want. I only find myself frustrated and underpaid when all the work I do keeps getting thrown away because neither the customer nor I know exactly what the true objective is. In the end, the key to building successful websites, as with building successful companies, has little to do with technology and everything to do with planning your expected results. Failure to plan is planning to fail. I hope to see you soon at a website near you. This is Carlos Art Navarez thanking you for your time and your invaluable attention. Good night.